Thank you. You may be seated. It's a joy to be here today. I didn't expect to be preaching today. We had a wedding in North Battleford yesterday. Two young people that met up at our Bible camp years ago. Not years and years ago, but several years ago. Then graduated from Bible college, and they asked if we would come to their wedding. So we came down for that. We have a wedding again next weekend in Meadow Lake, so we'll be around a little bit. I appreciate Brother Webster bringing Morgan up this summer during Bible camp. First time that she's been up north, and had a great testimony that she shared with us both on Saturday and Sunday. And I sure appreciated that. And I know the impact that she had on our staff in particular was a real blessing. So appreciate you, Morgan, for coming up there and giving your testimony up for us there in Uranium City. As you know, Josiah and Krista are in Uranium City. Josiah is doing some work up there. And we received a text on our way back from North Battleford yesterday that bear kept coming back, so they're getting some experience in chasing bears away. You might want to keep them in prayer. Interesting things that happen up north, right? So we've been up in Uranium City for about 34 years and lived in the village now for 24 years, and we operate Beacon Bible Camp. I've done that for nearly all the time that we've been there, and the Lord has been gracious to us in providing a beautiful camp setting, some wonderful buildings that the Lord has given to us. And then we fly kids in from the area up there, from Stony Rapids, Fond du Lac. Some came in from South Indian Lake, Manitoba, and also from Yellowknife this year. So it was a great time together. I had the privilege of speaking the first week. And then we had a missionary that came for both weeks, Brother Jones from Rankin Inlet. He and his family were able to come and spend time with us for about nearly 3 weeks at camp. It was a real blessing for us to have them, and I think an encouragement to them as well. As I've talked to lots of people over the years about the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in his word, he's coming back. I wonder sometimes how prepared we are for his return. Are we honestly looking forward to that day when Jesus is going to return? I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that we can stand on it, we read it, and when we do so, we're hearing from God himself. I really believe that the things that he said in his Word are true. The Bible is very, very clear in the fact that God cannot lie. He tells the truth, and he's given us the truth in his word. And therefore, being that there is one and only true living God, we need to take heed to what God has given us here in his word. And we need to read it and study it and then obey what the Word of God has to say. If you would, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3. God said that he is going to return. He's going to return. When you found 2 Peter chapter 3, let's read together verse 1 through verse 10. And let's stand together. And when you found it, and read those first 10 verses together. Let's read together. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word, and I pray that this morning we would give attendance to your word. And Lord, that as we contemplate the things that you've written for us, God, may they mean something to our heart. May we meditate upon them. May they be thoughts that we'll carry with us, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. Knowing this first, that the day of the Lord is at a thousand years. Knowing that God doesn't look at time the way we do. And Lord, we just pray today that our hearts would be stirred toward a greater adherence to your word even this day. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. The Bible says over in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 to verse 44, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, if the good man of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as he think not, the Son of Man cometh. Suppose that the Lord Jesus Christ came back today. Suppose he came back before the end of this service. Are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says that he could come at any time. We know not the hour when he's coming. We don't know the day that he's coming. But he promised in his word that he is going to come back and receive those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior unto him and take us up into glory. I wonder, are we looking for his soon return? We live in this day and age where the Bible says that there are scoffers in this world. People make fun of the fact that, hey, I'm just going to continue living the way I did. You know, God hasn't come back yet. And look, it's been a couple thousand years since he walked on this earth. I don't think he's coming back soon. Well, the Bible says he could come back at any moment, any moment. And we are to be looking forward to his return on this earth. Now, that means some things that we ought to pay attention to. It means that we need to be careful how we live our life here on this earth. Being a shepherd, for example, needs to lead and warn his sheep of an impending danger. And this message today is a warning from the Word of God that we're to look or be looking to for that return of Jesus Christ at any time. And back in my flying days, I still fly some, but back when I was flying for the airlines, there were several different series of lights in the airplane. There were caution lights, which were kind of an amber color. But there were warning lights that would come on. An amber light, this meant that simply something was malfunctioning and it wasn't real serious as far as imminent danger or injury or something like that. But when a red light would flash in the cockpit, it meant you better pay attention because there's something seriously going wrong with the airplane. And there are some serious things, there are some serious warning signs in our world today that would lead us to believe that Jesus could come back at any time. Could come back at any time. When Jesus came to this earth, it was certainly to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament that a Savior would come to pay the penalty of sin. And by doing so, he went to that cross, shed his blood for the remission of sins. But importantly, he rose again that third day. And both the Bible and history confirm the fact that Jesus did walk on this earth, that he did go to a cross, he did literally die, he was buried in the tomb for 3 days, and then miraculously rose again that third day. And there were many, many witnesses to the fact. In one case, at least, there were 500 witnesses to the fact. Not just one individual, not just his disciples, but many witnessed the fact. It's a true story. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus could come back at any moment? When Jesus rose from the dead, he met with his disciples and many others for 40 days. And over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 through verse 11, we read these words that Jesus said. When they came, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what will thou at this time, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto him, It is not good for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. That's what we're supposed to be, witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Do I believe that Jesus is coming back? Yes, I believe Jesus is coming back. The Bible says so. And he could come back at any time. Remember I said God cannot lie? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God's always good on his word. You know, back in the old days, and I don't know about today so much, I don't do this kind of business much anymore, but we were farmers, and we had neighbors, and we would agree to do such and such a thing, and that agreement was based on a handshake. You know, you'd shake hands and say, yes, I will do that, and you could count on that neighbor or that person who shook your hand and said, this is what I will do, and you could count on it that if the fact was he would do it. He gave you his word. God has given us his word, and he said, I am coming back. He's coming unannounced, quickly, at the sound of a trumpet, and we need to be ready. And here's the truth that is evident in the world today, just like it was in the day of the apostles. And that verse 13 and 17 through verse 18, Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. God said, don't be led away by the error of the wicked. There are those who influence us every single day. The media influence our thinking every single day. When you go on the internet, you're being influenced by someone, and more than likely, someone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They would be some that would be the scoffers or the mockers of the fact that who is this God that says he's coming back someday? But those of us who have the Word of God in our hand ought to know that the Word of God is true, and the Bible says that Jesus is going to return, and our antennas ought to go up when we hear somebody scoffing or making fun of, making light of the fact that Jesus is going to return. Because he said, I am going to return, and it'll be unexpectedly. Remember those first verses that we read? He said, if we had known the thief was coming, we would have prepared for him. But he came unexpectedly in the night and destroyed the house. And there are many Christians today that are being led away with the air of the wicked and are living life for themselves here in this earth instead of preparing for that soon return of Christ, for the return of Christ. They're minding the things of this world rather than living with the expectation that Jesus could return at any moment. He could return any time. And yet, they call themselves Christians, but they really love the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through verse 17 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We live in a very materialistic society. We're bombarded with all the nice little neat things that we can have to make life very comfortable. Down in prayer meeting here this morning, we heard even in our prayer that we are so fortunate to be able to live in a country that's free. We have many, many blessings bestowed upon us here in this country, the wealth. We are rich, very, very rich in comparison to the world. Wherever folks live and they don't have what we have, they're eager to get here. Why? Because we have freedom and we have wealth. But that's not the way the rest of the world lives. It's not the way they live. And God said, don't love this world, neither those things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And here's what I can say about that. If we love those things of the world, we're not going to be prepared and we're not going to be looking forward to that day the Lord Jesus Christ will return. We're all caught up in the world. We're doing all the things of the world. It's what the world expects of us. It's what we learn on our internet and all those kind of things. Well, what do we see in this world? Well, we see people who claim to be a Christian, who are living the life of the world, and their heart is far from God. They have all this goods of the world. I mean, they've got it all here in North America. They're caught up in having fun with their friends and not giving one thought that Jesus could come back today. Jesus could come back today. You know, one of the things it says over in Psalm 36 and verse 1, the Bible says, the transgression of the wicked saith in my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. And that's the day we're living in. People don't fear God. There's no reverence toward God. I'm sure you've heard the story over there in Luke in chapter 12, verse 16 to verse 21. I'm going to read it for you because it's very important to understand that here's one who was caught up in the world. Story of the rich farmer. I can relate to that because we lived on a farm. We weren't necessarily rich farmers, but we had all these things that we needed in life. But here's what the Bible says. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we could have all the riches in the world. Maybe you've seen this, but I remember several years ago, someone was talking to me about things that people have been buried in, for example. Some of the very wealthy people, there's been people buried on their really fancy Harley-Davidson motorcycle, or in their Lamborghini, or some real fancy vehicle, you know, and they've been buried. But guess what? That vehicle's still there in the ground. That motorcycle's still there in the ground. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't go with them when they died. And I think what we lose sight of is the fact that when we pass on from this earth, we're either going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, or we're going to be in a place that the Bible says God has prepared for those that do not believe in him, a place called hell. What I think people fail to realize, everything on our earth here is time related. For example, we started our service nearly at 11 o'clock this morning. That's the time we start church. When we have an appointment at the doctor's office or at the dentist office or whoever we're meeting, we'll say, I'll meet you at Tim Hortons at 10 o'clock for coffee. We're very, very time orientated, right? But that's not what eternity is all about. Eternity has no time value. It is forever. So you choose where you're headed in this life, whether you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you're like maybe some of these that we've already read about this morning, even this rich farmer said, well, you know, I'm going to do it the way the world says. I need to have my bank account built up so that when I retire, I'll have these multi-million dollars in the bank and I can just sit back and take it easy. The Bible says, lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. You know what people do? They lay up for themselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust does corrupt. Thieves do break through and steal. See, where our treasure is, the Bible says, that's where our heart will be also. Where is your treasure? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When we say that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back today, and a person is living in sin, maybe someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but maybe they've heard some teaching from the Word of God, and they hear that maybe Jesus could come back today. It does not bring comfort to them. There's no comfort there. In fact, there'd be fear. My wife and I have been working or talking to an individual up north for several years now regarding accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. This individual has some very serious health issues, and health is rapidly declining over the past 3 years. And yet there's a very light and I think God will take care of me. I believe in God. Just a light attitude toward, but yet has shared with us several times now, I fear what I see coming. I fear what I see coming. You see, the Word of God ought to be a comfort to us when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we know that we've trusted Him, He's a part of our life, and we're doing our very best to live for Him, then the Word of God and these words about Jesus returning to this earth are a comfort. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're looking forward to that day, hastening to that day. Lord, come back quickly. That would be our cry. But that's not the way it is with the world, because they're living in sin and they're ignorant of God's promises, and they're not looking forward to that day that Jesus will return. Like that rich farmer, they're thinking only of living the good life today and are not making preparation for eternity. And those words, certainly, of Jesus will not bring comfort to their soul. Again, and when Peter is talking about the return of Christ, Peter clearly gives us some insight on the condition of the world and what it's going to be like. He said that there in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, a person who mocks or derides or reproaches, ridicules in language of contempt. They hate the Word of God. They walk after their own lust and then proudly say, okay, you said the Lord's coming back. Where is this coming? Where is that promise of His coming? The fathers have fallen asleep. My grandfather's fallen asleep. He told us about that. Maybe my great-grandfather. They've all told us about the fact that maybe Jesus is coming back. He's not here. So they make light of it. They make fun of it. And they don't understand that one day the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Unexpectedly, very unexpectedly, Jesus will return. So I hope that even in thinking about this, that you'll consider even, verse 17. Therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And I find that it's not always easy living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are sometimes that maybe Christians who say, well, I don't want to be ridiculed and I don't want to be made fun of, and I want to be part of the crowd that I work with, or we go out together or things like that, and I don't want to be ridiculed and persecuted, if you will, for me being a Christian. But the Bible says that, you know, if you're a Christian, you're going to suffer persecution on this earth. It comes with the territory. As a matter of fact, if you read through all of the New Testament, particularly the Gospels and in the book of Acts, you'll find that men were persecuted for the cause of Christ. They were persecuted. But they were not ashamed. Paul said, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed to stand for what's right. I'm not ashamed. I hope you understand that this is not something to put aside until a later date. We like to procrastinate in our life. Oh, you know what, I'll take care of that later. I'll deal with that when the time comes. I've talked to some people, said, you know, when I'm really starting to get old and things aren't going so well in my life anymore, then I'll maybe consider God, and I'll try to make preparation then. But that's not what I've witnessed. I've witnessed many elderly people, even as this individual I just mentioned up north, whose heart actually has become harder as they've grown older, and they're not caring for the things that are going to come, not caring about it at all. Jesus said, I can come like a thief in the night at any moment. Are you ready to meet him? Are you really ready? I've met many over my lifetime, many of whom are in eternity today, those scoffers, the ones that made fun of it, but they're in eternity today. That means forever and forever and forever, and they'll never get out. If I choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says I'll spend eternity with him. What a wonderful place that will be. First of all, meeting our Lord in heaven, and then living with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth. I think one of the tragedies of today is that prevalence in Christians, those who claim that they're Christian, that have no time to do the things of the Lord. They don't take time for God. They're interested only in what they can get out of this life, and they're not preparing for eternity. They're not preparing, they're not laying up treasure in heaven for themselves. Well, Jesus Christ is coming back, he said. He's coming back unexpectedly. He's coming quickly. And if you're not looking for his return, you will definitely be caught off guard. Story is illustrated in the Word of God. You remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 wise prepared themselves for that call of the bridegroom. He would be coming. They didn't know exactly when, but they prepared themselves. They had then that day, of course, lamps that needed oil, and they took extra measures of oil along with them. While they were waiting for that call, the bridegroom cometh, and they were ready. The other 5 were called foolish. They had the same opportunity to be prepared as the 5 wise, but they chose, and doesn't say this in the Word of God, but they obviously chose to live for themselves and not prepare themselves for the bridegroom. They went and sat down, but their lamps went out. And then the call was given, the bridegroom cometh. And these 5 foolish asked the 5 wise, saying, would you give us of your oil that we might trim our lamps and meet the bridegroom? And what did the 5 wise say? Well, we can't do that. We've prepared. Maybe the bridegroom will delay his coming a little bit, and all of our lamps will go out. Go buy some oil yourself. And of course, when that bridegroom came, they were gone. The 5 wise were able to go in because they had been wise. They prepared ahead for what they knew was coming. Are you prepared knowing what is coming? Because the Bible says Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. So we're supposed to be ready for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be looking forward to it, not being caught up in the things of the world, because we don't know when he's coming back. But he said, I'm coming. Are you ready for him to return? Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 14, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." I just think that many times we just fall into the habit of doing things the way we always have done things here in this earth. We get up in the morning, we get cleaned up, we go to work, we do our daily task, we come home, we're tired, maybe we watch the news, and the cycle just goes on and on and on. But I wonder, have we stopped and said, "Lord, am I ready to meet you? Have I made some preparations here that are going to cause me to rejoice in the fact that I know you're coming back? It brings comfort to my heart because I'm looking forward to your return." And how do I do that? Denying ungodliness, worldly lust, living soberly or very seriously, righteously, and godly in this present world. I wonder, is that how we're living today? How about you? I mean, just do evaluate yourself. How are you living? Are you really paying attention to how you're living today? Are you just going along with the world and all those attractions and things that we think we need to have? Or are you saying, you know, the Bible says Jesus is going to return and I need to prepare for his return. I need to be ready when he comes back. Just like those five wise virgins, they were ready. Don't be like the rich farmer who had it all. I mean, he had everything. I pulled down those old barns, I'm building new barns, I'm filling them all up with the grain, and you know what? I can live a good life the rest of my life here on earth. And God said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." Wow. It's a pretty serious place to be in. This old world that we live in is wicked, as we well know. But we can be that shining light, that shining example of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. You know, maybe sometimes people have struggles with one another, or ought against one another. Psalm 119, verse 165 says this, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace. Our people are looking for peace in this day and age. They can't find it. But great peace have they that love thy law. The word of God, is it precious to you? Is it something that you read and study and learn more of God every day? Is it something that you would take and get on your knees before God and claim his promises in your daily devotion? Do you pray for one another? Sharon and I have a thing of praying for our family, in particular by name. We pray for all of our children and grandchildren by name every day. We pray for preachers, we pray for others, people in our church, people in our community up north. We pray for them by name because it's real to us, and we want them to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want our children to grow, our grandchildren to grow in the spirit and admonition of the Lord. And we need to be looking forward to that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Think of that wonderful gift of eternal life that we've been given by the shed blood of Christ. No one else could pay that price. It had to be pure, without sin, that sacrifice for sin, shedding the pure blood of Christ on that old cruel cross. He died for you and for me. And when he paid that penalty of sin and we accept him as our Savior, then we need to live for him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need to live our life. Our direction ought to change. Our thinking ought to change in that preparation for that great day that Jesus will return. I trust you'll think on those things this morning. I know I've given a lot of scripture, but this is something as I was preparing last evening and this morning that the Lord laid on my heart, saying, you know, here we are, we live in Prince Albert, or you folks live here, and there's a lot of activity that goes on here, and people are coming in from the north, and we have people from all over, kind of a mix of people here in Urania, in Prince Albert, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are caught up as Christians in the things of the world, our hearts will be cold and indifferent toward reaching them. We'll just do our thing. I'm praying today, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of these dear folks, and may we be serious about serving you with all of our heart. Bless your word now. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.